Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Moon, Moo, and You, the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving-Shank, and Joan Adams and I host the show. Our call-in number is 347-205-9200. Our guests this evening are Mr. 2020 and Carol Wingert, and our topic is Seeing with Native Eyes, Touching the Earth, Photographing God. Joining me now is Joan Adams. Hello, Joan.
Hello, Kate.
How are you?
I'm great. Anxious to hear Twinnie and Carol again. They always lift my spirits.
I totally agree. And here they are.
Great.
Good evening, Kate. Good evening, Joan. How are you guys?
Good evening, Twinnie. Great.
We are wonderful. How are you?
We are doing fabulous. Currently you have me. I think Carol's listening in on the other room and will be joining us shortly.
Nice.
And, yeah, she just brought me in a cup, so she's probably grabbing some more.
Yes, I grabbed myself one, too. I'm sure Joan has one.
Oh, I do, for sure. Tuesday coffee.
All of this coffee, 4 huge cups, no doubt.
Uh-huh. Love every minute of it.
Are you eating weeds all this time?
I still eat a lot of weeds, but I am eating normal food relatively as well. After about 5 days, I couldn't maintain a strict weed diet. Still eating a lot of weeds and rice, a little bit of meat. And I tell you what, it feels really good just really appreciating and consuming the local wild edible plants.
Yes. Well, what happened after the 5 days? Did you start getting spacey, and did you start hallucinating?
Almost. One of the things that I've maintained for years, teaching a lot of the Native American, skills and philosophy and stuff like that, is if you're going to be a let me back up a little bit. Native Americans, for the most part, were not vegetarians. It's almost impossible to live as a vegetarian off the land. It would be possible if you stockpiled enough grains and you'd really have to work hard. But, plain and simple, we do need to supplement our diet with something, whether it be meat or dairy or be a hardworking vegetarian and get a lot of beans and legumes, so on and so forth. Long answer or short question, I did get pretty spacey, it seems as if when you eat meat, you also have a little bit more drive, and I imagine that may have something to do with the fact that you're consuming animal protein, and the animal protein, of course, is going to have hormones in it from the animals, even natural meat does. So I suspect that eating meat helps me make a little bit more money and stay a little ambitious, so... There's a bunch of stray thoughts for you this evening so far.
That is funny. I think it might be true that, you need there's a time for everything. There's a time just to space out like that. And sometimes you just have to, be a little bit more functional.
Absolutely. It's funny because like in the spring, when you look at the plants that first come up, most of what the first plants that show up, that I teach people about, I teach them because they're here, and they're all cleansing plants like dandelion and coltsfoot. And, it's really cool if you think about it, because if you ate meat all winter, you're living in the hut, you know, with a bunch of other people, and you need animal fat literally to keep warm, you know, because your body needs it. And then come springtime, you got to detox. And we get the dandelions and the coltsfoots and the other plants that just help us to basically, you know, get all the crap out of our systems and get spacey for a little bit in spring, and then we get to go out and enjoy the berries and the fruits of summertime.
Yeah, very, very wholesome. What is your favorite plant in the spring?
What is my favorite? I'll tell you what, I'm going to let Carol answer that because she just snuck in and she whispered in my ear. She's like,
mine's garlic mustard. I love garlic mustard. I'll tear it apart and we'll make a pot of, we got a rice cooker. And we tear up the garlic mustard leaves and put in there, and it's so good. If we have the ramps or the wild onions to put in there, it even gives it a better flavor. But garlic mustard is my favorite right now.
Now, what does that look like? I must have a lot of it here.
I will guarantee you do. Garlic mustard up until, well, even right now it still has a little bit of the flowers left, but it grows in two cycles, sort of like a biennial. But garlic mustard, when it grows tall, it has a little wee tiny white flower on it. It's a four-petaled white flower, about the size of an eraser, maybe a little bit bigger, off of a pencil. And the leaves themselves tend to be a little bit pointy-shaped. You can find photos of garlic mustard up on nativeeyes.com. If you go there and type garlic or garlic mustard in the search box, you'll see some good photos of garlic mustard. And I'm telling you, Kate, you got to go eat some.
Yeah, because, well, look, for everybody in the chat room, 2020 and Carol, and I live in the same state of Pennsylvania, except that I know that it's not exactly the same. It's probably some different terrain, and you might have more snow than we do, except I don't think you had more snow than we did this winter. But in general, it's a little bit more rugged up that way, and that probably does have to do with different plants and so forth.
Oh, yeah. I tell you what, I think for the most part, I lived out your way for about a year, and I'd say we're probably about 80-90% the same. And I'm glad you mentioned the chat room. We just got in. That's cool. About 80-90% the same. You know, in fact, what's really cool about Pennsylvania, we are in the perfect position because literally the plants that are growing here, about 80-90% of them, are growing the whole way down into the Carolinas and the whole way up into the New England states. So Pennsylvania is really is the ideal place to practice and teach foraging because of basically the zone of where we're at.
Yes. And I just had the pleasure of eating comfrey flowers the other day.
Ooh.
Gosh, is that sweet? In other words, I just picked it off the plant and ate it.
Excellent. Excellent. You know, what's really good right now, too, is black locust flowers. And you got to make sure that they're black locust flowers. But there's still some of those left on the trees here. And what we do is we gather those up, and it's real easy to gather a couple cupfuls, and we mix them in with blue corn pancake batter that we make. Mm. And literally... Yeah, that sweetness that you taste in the flowers, like with the comfrey flower, that sweetness, it permeates the pancake and it permeates the house. It is just absolutely awesome. So you might want to try some of your comfrey flowers and a little bit of pancake batter as well.
Yeah, I love this site, the Native Eye site. I know I've been here before, but for some reason I'm looking at it a little differently this time. It's beautiful. And maybe you've changed it a little bit. It's really very nice.
Well, I tell you what, the big thing that makes the big difference there is my sweetheart, Carol Wingard, who photographs God. And I'm telling you, her photos make the difference on that site. So.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah, I got to plug her.
And that red clover flower. Oh, my gosh. That's just perfect looking.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. You can just eat the flower? You just eat the flower?
Oh, absolutely. I tell you what's cool with the red clover. By the way, I want to mention to the listeners, too, We are putting out once a week a Weed of the Week email. Up in the upper right-hand corner of that website, you can register for that. And once a week, you'll get a little email telling you, hey, here's the Weed of the Week. This is what we're currently seeing that's up. Go get it. It's a good, timely email. But what's really cool with the red clover, you can pick the flower heads and dry them. They make really good tea year-round like that. They're good for bronchitis. They're good for hot flashes. You can eat the flower heads, and you can also eat the tender leaves raw. You can cook any of the leaves off the plant as a pot herb, and they're really, really good. They're high in protein. And what's really cool to do, you just take you take the flower head, and you literally just pull a couple of those little red, I don't even know what you'd call them. I guess they'd be like flower petals. You pull a few of those flower petals off, and you turn them around, and the end that was stuck into the flower, you just nip those with your teeth. And literally, you're eating what honey is made of. And it is like
so far out.
It is exquisitely beautiful. It is, I can't even say it tastes sweet. It's just exquisitely beautiful. Carol's nodding her head up and down, like almost tranced out. It's wonderful.
Well, I always hesitated to eat the clover plant, and now I'm going to. It hasn't flowered yet in my yard. But we have a lot of clover, and interestingly enough, when I went to visit Joan and her sisters, and I don't know, Betty isn't in the chat room yet, but her sister, Joan's sister Betty, has this amazing capacity to just look at a grove of clover and go down and pick four-leaf clovers, like one after another, and to me, that is a gift. I mean, I personally can't do it, and I wondered if you guys can do it.
I tell you what, I can. I've got my own set of unique, weird skills, but Carol, she's got a knack for finding four-leaf clovers.
Yeah, and believe it, it is a knack.
It is.
It's an art, and not everybody can do it.
I have found some, but I cannot stand to do that. Like Betty found 20 in what, 10, 15 minutes time?
Yeah.
Or less. Just
really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just boom, boom,
wow.
Boom, boom, boom. And we're still looking. Hadn't found one yet.
You know, she could sell those. She could sell those on eBay.
Oh, you're kidding.
Oh, yeah. Think about it. Yeah, by the way, this is what I love about your show. You guys are nice and open, and you just invite and allow whatever shows up, and I want to thank you for that. But literally, she could sell those on eBay. I mean, you know, literally, you can get like a resin at the hobby stores, and you know, literally, you'd mix the resin up and just sort of plop the four-leaf clover down in there, and as soon as it hardens, it's a little permanent good luck charm, or yeah, gosh, she could turn them into necklaces. I mean, how cool is that?
Well, I think she might. I think she's. Don't you think, Joan, that she's probably looking for something like that?
Yeah, she'd love something like that. We both did eBay for a while. We were not very successful, so maybe we need to be doing four-leaf clovers. That would be
fun. I think that would totally rock. Absolutely.
Hmm.
So, Carol, do you take pictures of four-leaf clovers?
She just snuck out to get more coffee.
our coffee.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I'll tell you one of her little secrets. And you know what? She literally has bug eyes. And I don't mean the way she looks. But we can be walking along the bike trail in deep conversation, and walking the bike trail, deep conversation. It doesn't even matter about what. And out of the corner of her eye, you know, she'll hand me her coffee cup. Right, we always have coffee nearby. She'll hand me her coffee cup. She'll grab her camera out of her little speed holster, and the next thing you know, she's 20 feet up a hill taking a picture of this little micro bug. On like a yarrow flower. Yarrow flowers aren't that big.
I can believe that. From
oh, yeah,
her photos, I can tell that, yes.
Yeah, sooner or later, I'm going to bring a second camera with me and actually take photos of her in the field, because it is an absolute hoot. There's me standing there with two cups of coffee, sometimes two cigars, because she'll give me her cigar. So I'm the guy standing there with two cups of coffee and two cigars, and she's up on the hill going, "Stay still, move over, you know, come on."
Well, yeah, there was a little hummingbird moth that I wanted to take a photo of, and he was just eluding me. I mean, I was like chasing him up and down the trail. I said, "Now, damn it, I want your picture." So there he landed. He let me take his picture.
Uh-uh.
Oh, that's adorable.
See, I had a vision of the two of you walking and all these little insects going, "Me, me, me, come get my picture."
She had a photo of a robin up, I think it was last week when I photographed God. And today, I swear it was the same robin following us down the trail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I kept telling her, "Look over there. Look at, like, you know, I use clock faces for directions. I said, look at your 9 o'clock, which is like straight over to the left." And she turns, and there's this robin just sitting there, and it's like, that's him. You know, that's the same one.
Aww.
You had up there.
And he appreciated the publicity.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
And you appreciated his beauty. Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. I love that.
Well, we saw quite a few alligators in South Carolina. Oh, they are so beautiful. They are lovely.
How close did you get to them without, you know, them coming
my life?
Too close.
Well, Joan's daughter Kathy and I took many walks, and we take a walk around what is called Alligator Lake, and I must say I didn't feel totally comfortable at any point in that walk. You know how sometimes you feel totally, you know, comfortable when you're taking a walk. Like you don't think anything's going to come flying out to kill you. Well,
right.
These things can and they will, but we rounded the bend and there was one lying right there sending him or herself, but it took one look at us and went flying into the river.
And y'all were within 6 feet of that one, weren't you?
Yeah, we were very close to that one.
Yeah.
I
like to see them from the porch. I enjoy them on the porch. When I'm on porch.
There was one that rose out of the
Carol
water.
Right,
yes?
I wish you guys could see Carol right now. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, my gosh. You would have loved taking pictures of some of those creatures. We got pretty close to one, and I don't know if that picture, you know, Krabby's Beach crashed, and
mm-hmm.
a few weeks ago, and I didn't lose the pictures. It's just that I have to re-put them up on the blog, and but there was one very beautiful alligator that had, and we got very close to that, and I'm thinking to myself, well, I don't know whether we should be throwing them. But anyway, it has very big, meaty legs, and it looked like it was asleep, and it reminded me of Ulysses, too, for some reason. And but it didn't bat an eye, and it didn't run away, I don't know what they look like before they attack, either. I just don't know anything about them. It was the very first time I ever saw one in my life, except I did discuss it with my veterinarian, and he said that they are, you know, as ancient, they are ancestors of the dinosaur. And the only and of course we did know that, but the only reason they didn't get blasted out by a meteor, you know, because apparently that's the theory of why dinosaurs are no longer with us, is because they were all underwater. And they're really quite amazingly beautiful creatures. I respect them 100%. And then we saw these little teeny babies that were chirping. They chirped. And that's apparently a very rare thing to hear.
Wow.
They were chirping, but they were chirping to tell their mother that we were there. And that was not very, that didn't feel very comfortable either.
She was right under the deck we were standing on. I believe that with all my heart.
I felt her presence.
Oh,
yeah.
I know she was there. She was there.
Oh.
We're standing there talking to her babies, and she says, "You folks get away from here."
And we were saying, no, it's okay, Mama, wherever you are. We know you're there. We just can't see you. Yeah, it's like, yeah.
But honestly, goodness,
yeah.
I was sitting one afternoon, honestly, and I've never seen this happen before, but I sit on that back porch a lot. I was sitting on the back porch, and this huge gator came up out of the lake. And, I mean, he was coming, she or whatever was coming from the bottom of the lake straight up so that we could see her. It was but Kate was playing music for them, so they came up. But I mean, it was like sitting there. I've seen them swim down the lake to where we are, but this one just appeared. It was like she just came up out of the water.
Yeah. She rose up out of the primordial waters, like, and she was mammoth.
She
didn't stick around. She did not stick around. She just turned around and went back the other way.
She came to see what the music was all about.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh! I was playing the Klaus D. Jensen music, the music
cool.
that we hear before and after the show, and I need to tell him that because I think he would be fascinated by that. Oh my gosh!
Y'all, Kate was out on the deck. Now the deck goes beyond the porch, even closer to the gators, and Kate's out on the deck with this little, with the iPhone playing it, wasn't it?
Yep.
You're holding up the iPhone with the music, playing the music to draw the gators down to our end of the lake.
As you can see, I was obsessed by the alligators.
Only Kate would do that.
That little baby gator photo is adorable on Squidoo that you posted up there.
Isn't that precious?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yes.
They were darling. And we saw a lot of the little ones.
Wow.
Yes.
We really did. That was... I think, Kate, what you counted, 20 total that you saw?
Yes, and we were hoping to see one. Well,
you invited them all.
Yeah, it's not that hard to see them. You just have to go out and walk around. And it has to be a warm day, you know, with the sun out, and they like to sun themselves. But there's something very, you know, you have to totally respect those creatures. I don't think everybody does. Like, we were standing there with some people that had a little bit more to drink than they probably should have, and this woman picked up a stick, and she threw it at him, at the alligator. And I said, you know, I really don't think you should be doing that. I just appreciate it if you wouldn't do it anymore. I mean, please stop this now. I mean, it was a person we met, you know, who was out there looking at these beautiful birds, too. Those birds were coming in at dusk, and they were like white egrets. And they came in, and they alighted on the trees, and they were absolutely gorgeous creatures. And of course, they were on a lake, and there were alligators around and stuff. And that's what they were out, too, looking at the birds. But then she started to get a little bit too...
Too friendly. She was not a local. She was definitely a visitor. To throw a stick. I mean, you don't want to make those guys mad.
No, it's not very respectful.
No.
So we did have fun, didn't we, Jen? It was a really wonderful time,
fun.
And
it
went too fast. Went too fast, but I think that it was a beautiful experience. For me to go there and for us all to get along like we did, and it was a really comfortable experience.
It was extremely comfortable. It was really interesting. It was, Twinny and Carol, it was like we had known each other forever, which we have online, but it was real comfortable, and that was the joy, I think, was just that once we got to the beach, we didn't have a schedule. We just kind of did what we wanted to, and that's the best way to do that. You know, there wasn't any, we didn't rush around. We just did what we wanted to, which was cool. I wish we had had a week down there. That would have been neat, too. The reunion was wonderful, but we really packed a lot into that week.
Yes, we did. We went all over the state of South Carolina, back and forth. And your family, you have a beautiful family. I mean, the thing about meeting Joan was that I met her whole entire family.
Absolutely. Cousins and all.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes. And they were just adorable, wonderful people.
It was fun, and we made a Tate out of Kate in about an hour. We adopted them.
So when you get adopted, do you get one of those really cool-looking orange and black hats?
You took a hat home. Did you not have a cat hat in your suitcase?
Yeah.
But she won't wear it to work. She hasn't worn it to work yet. I think if I can wear it all over the Charlotte airport, she can wear it to work, don't you?
Absolutely. You know, I'll wear it to work.
Well, why don't I could wear it. It could be the new nurse's cap. How's that sound?
That sounds good. But entertain your patients. Yo, I did. I put it on so that we could find Kate at the airport, so that Kate would recognize me. And I had this sign, you know, that had Kate Loving Schenck written on it and all this stuff. And my friend and I are walking around looking for Kate. Well, the way it turned out, she was upstairs and we were downstairs, but long story. But I walked all over that airport in that crazy cat. People were looking at me like, lady, you have lost your ever-loving mind.
You know,
we entertained the airport that day.
Yeah. Well, we couldn't find each other right away. You were in one level and I was another.
Right.
But we finally connected and, yep, it's a beautiful state. It was a beautiful experience. And you live in a very beautiful area, that's for sure. Nice to have your family there. That's for sure.
Yeah,
yeah, there's the squid. You have the squid loo lens up in the chat room. That's great.
Right. Well, I put that there so that folks could go see our gators. Because I've got a bunch of gator pictures at the bottom of that. There's a good video of Kate on there, too.
I saw the video up top. I didn't play because I don't want the sound to come through.
Right. It was sound.
Cool.
Yeah, she does talk on that. But, Carol, do you see on that Squid Lou lens, that picture of the turtles and the bird? Is that a bird or a mama turtle? Kate took
that,
I think.
Is that toward the top or the bottom?
Down at the bottom, the last picture in the row. Just click on the picture and it'll show up big. But Kate,
there's
didn't you take that?
Turtles.
I love that.
Yeah.
It looks like a Carol photo.
Yes, there's three
really
turtles
does.
And a bird there.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
Oh,
look
my
at
gosh,
that's
way too cool.
Wow.
In the middle of the water. Isn't that gorgeous?
Wow.
That tree is very phenomenal. That tree, there's baby gators, you say. No,
yeah.
There's no baby gators in that. That beautiful tree there is nice.
Yeah, did you or Kathy one took that one. Obviously, the two of them had cameras and I didn't. But
the white birds are in one of those pictures.
Yeah.
And then that gator there, that huge gator is there. The baby is there, but the huge gator is there.
Who's skinny dipping with the white birds?
it wouldn't be any of us because we'd be killing. Actually, I think that might be an alligator.
Probably is.
Ooh.
Yeah, there was one out there.
There was gators right there. And I have to tell y'all, yes, I know we talked about this last week, but we got there, and the grandchildren say that my favorite spot down there is on the porch. In fact, they call it Joan Jones' favorite place. It's on that porch. But it's a little screen porch with a deck attached. But we walked out on that porch, and Kate said, I'm sleeping out here. I said, what?
Wow.
I said, I'm not going anywhere. And so we fixed Kate up with an air mattress. We honestly had a nice guest room for her. But she slept on the porch the whole time. So now the grandchildren want to sleep on the porch, like Joan Jones' friend. Yes.
But, and they will.
They will do that this summer, yeah. They will. Because they'll be down there all summer. But Kate slept down on the porch and listened to the jungle all night long.
You know what? It was very jungly.
Yeah.
Very, very strange noises of loud screeching birds all night long. And it was bizarre. Nothing like what we have. And apparently there's a baby owl that went, and apparently that's what it was because Joan's husband, Whitey, said it was, so I believe that it was.
Unless Dwayne may know better than we do. Do you know that sound, Dwayne?
I don't know that one.
Whitey said it was a baby owl. I do not know. But he seemed to think that's what it was. Well, anyway, we had fun. We had our nature weekend, nature days. We had reunion days, so that was cool.
The photographs are great. Yeah, these are all. Yeah, obviously you guys were having a blast.
We did have a blast. We did. We did a lot of living in 7 days. I'll tell you.
Yes. Oh, there's a picture of Betty looking at her four-leaf clovers near the top.
I've got to tell her too.
Oh, right under the video. Right under the video.
Okay. Okay, I got the video. And
there's, like, we're on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
If click on those little pictures, they'll come up big.
Yeah.
If you just click on the little picture, then it'll show up big.
Boy, that is way cool.
Isn't that cool? She was just picking up one right after the other. Just right there after lunch. It was funny. And I saw her do that when I was a child, but that was ridiculous that day. She was showing off the tape.
She was really showing off, wasn't she? Oh, she's adorable.
She was doing that. It was funny.
I would love to see her sell those on eBay somehow as bookmarks, little pendants, anything. I just think that would be totally way cool.
I think people love that kind of stuff.
Well, you could
seal them
in, what is that, iron-on paper where you can seal them so that people could carry them in their wallet.
Exactly, yes.
What am I talking about?
Wax paper. Yes.
I don't know. Yeah.
Shrink wrap.
Yeah, oh yeah, shrink wrap. Or I tell you what, we have a little laminator. You can find those little laminators dirt cheap at flea markets or maybe for $50 or so at an office supply store.
Well, you can buy the laminating paper and iron it too.
Oh, you could do that. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, until she made her first million selling four-leaf clovers.
Absolutely.
Then she could buy a laminator.
She'd make a killing.
Absolutely. I think that'd be great. I mean, she could get a little website like the fourleafcloverlady.com or something. Put up a neat little story about how she's done it all her life.
Lucky Betty's Clover.
Lucky Betty's Clover. Lucky Betty, that. A couple YouTube videos to drive traffic, like YouTube videos of her finding clovers, and you put the website at the beginning of the description, a link in. Gosh, it'd be a blast to put something like that together. And then, press releases are a given. You know, the first day of the year, she'd be like Punxsutawney Phil. The first day of the year, for the first, I'm serious. This is what masterminding is like with us. People think masterminding is serious.
Exactly what I was thinking. Exactly. But this is not where I thought this show would go today.
Very much
a mastermind conversation for sure. I hope she's hearing it all.
I tell you what, videos, press releases every year. I mean, literally think about it. The local newspaper, I mean, she sends it out officially. The luck has changed. I mean, it's that. The first day of the year where you find where she finds her four-leaf clovers. And, gosh, how cool is that,
Oh, yeah.
That is really cool.
Somebody in the chat room, 333, Avatar, 333.
Yeah. I don't know who that is, but amazing to see those numbers up there.
Yeah, and the person is not even over here in the guest list. Isn't that interesting? Just kind of
weird.
It's a visit of some kind. Let me see if he'll respond.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a weird Blog Talk Radio story to share. Can I toss this into the...
Oh, yeah.
Please.
So sort of like how this guy shows up out of nowhere with 333, just weird stuff, right? So I'm listening to these guys down in, like, Georgia or someplace. They had this UFO show on one night. And I was listening to it, and they were bouncing all over the place about UFOs and aliens and men in black and stuff. And I figured, let me give these guys a call, because I'd never called a Blog Talk Radio show before. I've always been on the receiving end at that point. So I dialed up, and what I use for my studio mic and stuff here is I've got a little interface, and it goes into Skype. So I call in through Skype, and I don't have a real phone number through Skype. So it always shows up at like as all zeros or 0123123456789, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I called these guys up, and they're like, I mean, and they're ranting about, oh, we're under surveillance, and we got our tinfoil hats on and stuff. I mean, they're really going to town. And all of a sudden, they're like, hey, we got a caller. We got a caller, and it's 000000000. So they opened up the mic. Well, unfortunately, I didn't have my mic turned on. So I'm sitting there saying, hey, I got a question for you guys, and they can't hear me, right? So they're sitting there going, this is really weird. And it was a hoot because these guys were all, like, you know, worked up about the aliens calling into the show and the weird numbers. So I tried to call back in again, and then the number showed up as another weird series of numbers, like all zeros or something. So I'm sorry, guys. I'm not trying to prove that your theories are true, but here I am in Pennsylvania. Yeah,
that must have been fun. You weren't even trying to mess with their heads.
Oh no! It would not have been nearly as much fun if I was trying. But it's like, okay, I'll try to call in, and the first time it's 1 through 9 or whatever. The second time it's all zeros, and then after I hung up the second time, I realized, oh, I didn't have the mic hooked up right. So it's like, okay, not going to bother taking away from their show now because it gave something to them.
No, you would have spoiled it all if you had ruined it.
Exactly. You know, there's nothing more healing than a good story or humor.
Oh yeah.
So they got a good story, and I got some humor, and the third thing is love, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, a good story, humor, love. Those are the big three.
And you very lovingly let them have their story.
Yep.
Right.
Exactly.
I love that. That's dear. That's precious.
Yeah, that is very sweet.
Because we've had some interesting things happen on the show too, and. But nothing, I mean, the one I'm thinking about wasn't funny, but Kate, it was one of those first shows that I'm thinking about where you had so many activities happening around the show. What was it? Was it airplanes or was something to do with the air stars? I can't get there right now.
Oh, these astronauts were flying across the world, and the thing is, it was a Z-Point session, and I was looking down at my phone, and suddenly, and I didn't have Twitter streaming into my phone at all, but suddenly all these random Twitters came flying into my phone talking about the astronauts and how close they were to Earth and what they were seeing and how... you know, how moved the one astronaut was. In fact, I think it was the astronaut himself that was tweeting about his experience.
Wow.
That's what it was. It was like,
that's
oh my, I have no idea how it got onto my phone. And I just, to this moment, thought it was extremely mysterious.
Wow.
Betty is on hold, so.
Okay. Okay, let me bring her on. This is the four-leaf clover genius. Hello, Betty.
This is too funny. I can't believe you all have built me a business, and I. oh, that's fabulous! What a great idea.
You must do
Kate, it. You have about 15. Maybe you ought to send them back to me.
Well, I think. It should be easy for you to find 15 more.
Well, sometimes it is, but
it was fun
that you all could find them after I started. So I think we just hit lucky patches just for you.
Oh, that's sweet.
Well, it's funny, but you said your mom did that.
She did. My mother had that talent as well, and she did it quite right. Well, she was, like, obsessed by four-leaf, or, you know, just clover patches. And she just, you know, any patch she would see, you know, you wouldn't see her again for another half hour or so.
Maybe it's therapy.
It might be.
Oh, gosh. Well, it's good. I just had to pop in and thank you for the suggestion. Maybe, seriously, it would, you know, might be something to go somewhere. So
I'll tell you what else. You think about the paperwork, stationery, and all those things.
Good idea.
Too, Betty. Man, that's right up your alley.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Well, it's just fun to pop in and hear your voices. And I did miss some of the earlier part, but it was fun to join in when you were planning my future, and I thank you. So when I make a great hit in the business world with that, I'll have to share.
Thank you. We'll appreciate.
Okay, thanks. Thank
bye-bye, you.
Y'all.
Bye, Bye-bye.
Deb. Bye.
Love
you.
Love you.
That is hysterical.
That is funny. She loved that. I knew she was. She was probably listening and giggling the whole time. I know she was loving all that.
Oh, that is so much fun.
Yeah, for sure.
Well,
you never know what's going to happen on Moon Moo and you, do we?
No, I think maybe it might be a good luck to eat them, too, to eat these beautiful clover, red clover leaf flowers.
I'm sure they're high in protein.
Yeah. I'm excited by this. They just haven't come up quite yet. It's very cold here, Joan. It's raining and it's cold. Well, 48 degrees. It's very damp and cold. So we haven't had things like clover flowers come out yet. So.
Yeah, we've got beautiful weather today. But everybody's going to grandson's. One of his last baseball games. He's got one more this week, and that's the end of the season.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, so we'll all be back out there tomorrow night. And then later this week, granddaughter's in Wizard of Oz Ballet, so we've got a end of the school year activity schedule these days.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, it
fun, is fun. Fun,
fun, fun. One recital right after the next, but it's fun.
Yes. And off they go to Seabrook.
Yes, for sure. But we'll be going down about halfway, so that's good. Halfway through the summer, we'll all go down, and we'll do our family weekend at the beach, so that'll be fun. But
yes.
Have we lost 20 and Carol?
No, we're still here.
I'm just enjoying
the conversation.
I wanted to go back and tell you one more thing about these pictures. As we were talking about how comfortable we were. And we did talk about this last week. But when you look at those pictures, there's one of Kate and I sitting at the table on the porch. And that table is piled high with papers and coffee cups. And it's a perfect, to me, a perfect picture of our relationship and that whole trip. It was just,
wow.
You know, because it was, we weren't fussing over the table or what's gonna go where. It was just typical Kate and Joan. I just thought it was the coolest thing. You know how sometimes you're around people where you've got to keep everything just so and blah blah. You know.
We make people like that go away. We can't handle it.
Oh, can you imagine the table? Can you imagine the table of all four of us done together?
Oh, that would be a hoot. That
Absolutely.
Would be a hoot. Because, I have a friend that comes over and drinks what we call late-night coffee sometimes. And we both look like we're nesting by the time she leaves with all the papers and the books and the, you know, it's, oh, I want to show you this. Oh, you've got to see, you know. That's how that whole conversation goes, Yeah.
I think that's what a lot of people are missing because, you know, I mean, they've got these ideas of, you know, image and having to keep everything perfect and clean and structured and everything, but it's the spontaneity. Yeah, one of the things I love about you guys is that you've got a structure, but you leave plenty of room for spontaneity. And that's how people essentially connect. You know, it's not I just love it. I love the energy. I love the sharing, and it's real. You know, people are craving this.
Well, and we have so much room for miracles in it, I think. You know,
the
thing with Betty Rush. I mean, we don't ever know what's going to come out. And Betty's walking away with a business idea tonight that she had no idea might come up, you know?
You know what? It's like politics. I was reading Kate's blog today. And, you know, when I think about politics, I know we've got to have, like, Robert's Rules of Order for some meetings and stuff like that, and we need protocol. But wouldn't it be cool if literally, you know, the politicians and the policymakers and the leaders of our country, if they could honestly get together and go, you know what, let's just be blunt and be real and have some fun and see what shows up in a different kind of environment, an environment more like this. I'm sure, you know, the miracles would show up and the problems would get solved versus all the constipated government we have, you know?
Yeah.
I think you're right. And talk
yeah,
for
I'd
real.
Like a,
I mean,
yeah,
all the pretenses
yeah.
go. The pretense is what gets in the way, don't
That's
you think?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
You know, my favorite friends on the planet, we all, we're all able to totally just throw down on one another. Whether it's in fun or whether it's just, you know what, I think you're full of crap today.
Right.
And you know, and it makes the biggest difference. And Carol and I are the same way. It's like, you know, we're able to be lovingly honest with each other and walk away at times or whatever. And it's like we've got the coolest thing because of that versus the, well, we've got seven rules that married couples always follow crap. Mm-hmm. You know, so, oh.
Right. Right. Or wasn't it on your... on one of your forums where we were talking about, y'all were talking about marriage, and somebody said something about what were our guidelines or something, because we've been married almost 50 years. And I said,
yes.
My gosh, all we did was do it, you know. We just got married, and we believed in our commitment, and we lived life. And, we never sat down and made rules. That just wasn't part of the relationship. Never thought of it,
right.
Actually. Didn't have time. We were too busy trying to survive and do what, you know, you have to make a living and you raise children and you live life.
Yes, Whitey doesn't seem to be a rules kind of guy.
No, I can't imagine sitting Whitey down and saying, oh, we're going to make 10 rules for this. It'd last me out of the room. Yeah, right. You're going to make a rule.
Yeah.
We're not going to do that.
Yeah, these politicians, getting back to politics, I think people are really tired of the games that the politicians play. I mean, like you say, it's almost like they're playing chess with each other. Everything is measured. They can't just be spontaneous. They can't just, they certainly can never be loving to each other, because I think they must think that love is a weakness. And
you got it.
I just think that they're just working from really old paradigms of thinking. And the reason I know this is because I never would have thought in a million years that, you know, I joined this, got involved in this political campaign, and everybody's just absolutely wonderful, but they're all
awesome.
talking about our opponent, and, you know, he's wrong and we're right, and this kind of bullshit. So I was amazed that people are still talking like that. It was an enlightening experience for me. I will never get involved in anything like this again, but I'll just see it through and hope he gets elected. But because he is an honest guy, he doesn't take any money from the oil companies or banks or the insurance companies or the pharmaceutical companies, which is a plus. But on the other hand, it's still bullshit.
Have we ever told you guys about the dance party?
No.
So when we were talking about moving down to Austin, Texas, in Austin, one of the things I love about Austin is the motto, keep Austin weird. So it's like, I like that. You know, if you're going to have one rule, that should be it. So I told Carol and a handful of very trusted people, I says, you know, in the event that we move down there, I'm running for mayor. And I'm not going to run Republican. I'm not going to run Democrat. What I'm going to run is dance party. And so I bought austindanceparty.com. We owned that for a couple of years. And the whole concept was to totally revolutionize the government, because if we're going to be making decisions that involve creating laws or spending money, we should have a happy physiology while we're doing that. So the best way to ensure that you're having a happy physiology is to be physically dancing. So if we're going to do anything, if we're going to have quote-unquote debates or discussions or policy meetings, we're rocking out. We're playing good music. We're dancing. We're boogieing. We're doing what we do. And I still think it's a great idea, you know, instead of constipated politicians. And from having a background in the nursing thing like Kate, but nowhere near as much experience, I mean, I imagine the typical politician probably has one bowel movement a week or so, you know. They've got to. They can't have more than one a week, you know. And it's like, dude, we got to boogie. We got to get down. We got to loosen up and lighten up. And then those neurochemicals in your brain will have you making. I mean, think about it. When you feel bad, you never make good decisions. When you're feeling good, you're much more likely to make decisions that are going to have a good positive outcome. So it's like, So let's start rocking. Let's start dancing. You know, that's it. Carol's just sitting here going.
Carol, you part-time censor.
No, she doesn't censor. She just shakes her head.
I think Carol's probably as helpless around you as I am around Whitey. Whitey starts to tell a joke at a party, I walk away. I learned a long time ago just to leave the room. I mean, don't stay for this humiliation. Just walk. Yeah.
I noticed nobody's disagreeing about this.
Well, I don't think Wayne even has to tell a joke to be hysterical.
True.
He just says anything that comes into his head, and it's always very funny.
If it comes through his head, it's coming out his mouth. There's no doubt. There's no stopping it.
That's the way all the gurus are. They're always
gurus.
Yeah, all the real gurus, not the constipated ones. I mean, they're just wearing robes and crap. But the real gurus are always giggling because they get the joke. You know?
It's
so cool. But by the way, I got to toss this out. Can I do a 10 seconds of shameless self promotion?
Oh yes, please.
We started a new organization up. It's churchofweeds.org. You got to check it out. It's got a lot of good humor about weeds and spirituality and stuff like that going on. So churchofweeds.org. We've got 10 commandments, 12 steps, 7 precepts, and a whole bunch of other stuff going on there. So if you enjoy some humor, you got to check out churchofweeds.org because it's all about helping people lighten up and get close to the earth again and all that good stuff.
Is it www.churchofweeds.org?
You got it. Yeah, Joan just typed her in there. Cool. Check it out. You guys will definitely enjoy it. And
we
got banners and hats made too. So when we're going on our weed walks, we can attempt to convert people to the Church of Weeds. And you'll be seeing video on that soon, I'm sure.
Tell about the intervention.
Oh, yeah. And I tell you what, we did an intervention the other day. The local park down over the hill at East Park, they had this huge cleanup going on. And so we approached a couple young ladies who had a very tall stack of weeds, and we asked if we could go through them and gather dinner. And I tell you what, it led to the coolest conversation. And we had a big stack of dandelions to mix in with the rice for dinner, and it was cool. It was a real neat way to touch these kids and also get some weeds for dinner without having to do a whole bunch of work.
Yeah. Well, I've noticed that you can get ordained and signed up here for updates.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, guess what? I just signed up.
Of course. That's wonderful.
We just, but let me toss this out to you real quick. Vistaprint rules. Anybody who's listening who wants to print things out, you got to go to VistaPrint and sign up for their newsletter, because they will send you all the time, get this free, get that free kind of thing.
Pay for postage.
And all you do is pay for postage, and occasionally you got to pay to upload something.
Right.
And for like $30 or something ridiculous, I got postcards, a T-shirt, a hat, this big banner, and a magnet to put on the car, all with the Church of Weeds logo on it.
Oh, that's wonderful.
We are going to have so much fun with this. And again, I mean, some people think it's bizarre, and I'm sure we'll have to deal with the local law enforcement or something once in a while. But it's like, dude, it's all about, the healing power of plants, of weeds, of the spirit that moves through all things, with a big touch of humor, you know? So
it is very funny. Yeah, put up some video.
Cards right now. But if you get ordained and sign up for the list, then you can have an ordained card, right?
We're working on all
Viral.
Sorts of spin-offs. Stuff
like
that.
Granny Earth, she's joined us with the Church of Weeds, so her and I are called the Weed Chicks.
Oh,
that's very funny. Yeah, that's good. Well, you know, the Universal Life Church, right?
All you have to
do is sign. You can sign up and become an ordained minister. Well, this is what you should do with the Church of Weeds.
Well, I just signed up for it, and it asked me for my favorite weed, and I put dandelion because it's the only one I know.
Ooh.
Oh, but don't forget clover. Don't forget clover.
I did forget clover. I have to go back and sign up again. I do know clover. And kudzu. I know kudzu. That's what y'all do, Twenty, is find out something, a good use for kudzu. Then we'd all be millionaires.
You know what kudzu is great for? There are addiction treatments based entirely in kudzu.
You are kidding.
Oh, no. And I tell you, when you look at our nation, seriously, we are a nation full of addicts. You know, whether it's acknowledged addiction or not acknowledged addiction, we are a nation full of addicts. And it's funny because I sit here and I just notice the miracles of my life. Like I'll read, the amount of addiction, including like video game addiction and porn addiction and everything else out there. And then the next news article I read will be, kudzu is taking over the southern United States. And it's like,
yes.
Okay. and then I just notice, you know what? I remember reading years ago about kudzu, being used in addiction treatment. And it's like, I think primarily with alcoholism. And it's like, how cool is that? Yeah,
How in the world do they use it?
You know, I don't have, since we don't get much up here, I couldn't tell you. We've had a little bit of kudzu up
we'll
here.
We have plenty, we'll
share. We
have kudzu vine. This is the razor stuff that cuts you, right?
No.
I've never been close enough to it. I just see it in mountains. You go down the side of the road, and it's everywhere.
It's huge down south.
Because somebody had come up with a recipe for kudzu pie, but I've never tried it.
I'm going to try it this year. I haven't done it yet, but I've read that you can take the kudzu leaf and fry it in pancake batter, and it's supposed to be very good.
Oh, you're kidding.
Nope.
And then it would be good for your addictions?
Wouldn't that be cool? Seriously. I mean, think about it. We could do this down at your place, Joan. We've got negative motivation with the Gators. We've got positive motivation with kudzu pancakes. And Carol just sits here and looks at me because
kudzu pancake restaurant that only serves kudzu pancakes and frees everybody of their addictions.
Yeah,
you know what? That's it. You know, look at how many people are on water pills and stuff like that, and we're trying to kill dandelions off. It's like dandelions are one of the most powerful healing plants, and you can't hurt yourself with a dandelion. I mean, you dig it, you clean it up, you can boil the whole plant, you can eat the whole plant, and then the only thing that's not fun is the stem, and then you drink the water. And dandelion is like the ideal food, and it's so healing. It's incredible on the liver and the kidneys, and we're trying to kill it. And you look at kudzu down south, gosh, wouldn't that be cool? You know, what if we just did all, I mean, the South has a loving energy, which is so cool. Wouldn't it be great to get a whole bunch of people that need help in that loving energy using that plant and
eating pancakes.
So on and so forth. Eating pancakes.
I like
and
it.
We use Carol's world famous blue corn pancake recipe.
Ooh.
That sounds
great.
Sounds
better by the minute.
Well, we have kutsus growing all over the place here.
Okay.
So,
wow.
Because
yeah,
of the river,
then,
I guess, Kate.
And then when you pull it out, you have to be very careful because it does cut you very deeply.
Really?
Really terrible rash. And
the leaves are sharp.
Yes, they are.
Okay.
But and that's what it's called kutsu vine, and it's something we have to keep out of the garlic, or else it will destroy. It destroys
mm-hmm.
anything in the garden, you know.
Yeah, it takes over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very prolific and very, very. It's a very hardy plant, that's for sure. Very hardy.
Yeah, you would not want to farm it. You'd want
no.
to find it. Yeah, for sure.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think all the big healers really don't need farmed. You know, they just, they're powerful. You know, they just grow.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, I'm just going to say that we've run out of minutes. We are, the show is over. It's
wow.
still recording. It's still recording, but it is over. Yeah.
Absolutely delightful, though. What fun.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
You two are always a joy.
Yeah, thanks for coming on our show. We just love having you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
It's one of the highlights of our month. Thank you, guys.
Thank
yeah.
you. Good
and
night, everybody.
Too. And I'm going to be playing the music for Mother and Child by C.D. Jensen. And I have put all of his music up on my blog, the prayer blog, so everybody can buy it there. And everybody have a wonderful evening. I love you all.
Love you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, guys. Hugs and love.
Thank you.